Welcome to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Deux questions d'étiquette dans le milieu des affaires. Première question, les Américains dans les milieux d'affaires utilisent-ils leur prénom ou leur nom de famille?
Do Americans usually use their first name or last name in business?
First name, c'est le prénom. My first name is Michelle. Last name, nom de famille. My last name is Joseph. What is your first name? Quel est votre prénom? À vous de me répondre. What is your first name? What is your last name? Quel est votre nom de famille? Répondez-moi. What is your last name? Comme vous allez entendre, pour Gary, c'est une question difficile.
This is a difficult question. To be safe, use the name that the other person gives you.
This is a difficult question. C'est une question difficile. To be safe, use the name that the other person gives you. Pour être sûr de ne pas faire une gaffe, to be safe, donnez-lui le nom qu'il ou elle se donne, le prénom ou le nom de famille. Gary dit, quand il se présente, Please, call me Gary. Veuillez m'appeler Gary. Please, call me Gary. C'est ainsi que vous donnez la permission à l'autre personne de vous appeler d'une certaine façon. Écoutons la conversation qui suit à propos de la première question.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello, Gary. Our listeners have sent in some email questions, Gary. Our first question is, do Americans usually use their first name or last name in business?
Well, this is a difficult question. To be safe, use the name that the other person gives you. I always say, please call me Gary.
Gary dit, I always say, je dis toujours, always. I always say, please call me Gary. Littéralement, s'il vous plaît, s'il te plaît, appelle-moi Gary. Appelle-moi Gary. Please call me Miss Joseph. Please call me Mrs. Joseph. Ce qui nous amène à la prochaine question d'étiquette. Elizabeth demande à Gary, When speaking with women in business, quand on parle à des femmes dans un contexte d'affaires ou professionnel,
When speaking with women in business, when should we use Miss, Mrs. or Ms?
When should we use, quand doit-on se servir de? When should we use Miss, Mrs. or Ms? Miss, mademoiselle, ou comme le dit Gary, For single women, pour les femmes célibataires. Single women. Les femmes célibataires, miss. Ou bien, Mrs., madame. For married women, pour les femmes mariées. For married women.
Well, miss is for single women. Mrs. is for married women.
Ou encore, Ms. Un mot nouveau qui est neutre et n'implique pas le statut de célibataire ou de marié à la femme en question.
Ms. is easier to use than Mrs. or Miss because you don't have to know whether or not a woman is married.
Écoutez la conversation qui suit.
Our next question is, when speaking with women in business, when should we use Miss, Mrs. or Ms.?
Well, Miss is for single women. Mrs. is for married women. Ms. is easier to use than Mrs. or Miss because you don't have to know whether or not a woman is married. I always use Ms. because with Ms., I usually don't offend people.
What do most American women in business prefer?
I believe that most American women prefer Ms.
Thank you, Gary.
Finissez la phrase. Vous allez entendre le début et vous devez terminer la phrase. Écoutez et finissez la phrase.
Some people use their first name in business, but others prefer to use their last name.
Le nom de famille.
They prefer to use their last name.
Le nom de famille.
Most American women prefer to be addressed as Ms. They prefer to be addressed as Ms.
Ms, c'est neutre.
In the past, people used to address all married women as Mrs.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation, des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. Mathieu a été l'heureux gagnant du gros lot à la loterie nationale de son pays. Il va raconter sa vie d'alors au journaliste Benjamin. Il évoquera aussi sa vie actuelle et exprimera des regrets. Écoutons l'ancien millionnaire et le journaliste. Vous répondrez vrai ou faux aux deux énoncés que vous allez entendre. 1. L'émotion avait rendu Mathieu fou. 2. Son logeur le priait de rester. Vous répondrez ensuite à ces trois questions. 1. Mathieu se rappelle-t-il quand il a gagné à la loterie? 2. Comment Mathieu s'est-il senti après son gain? 3. Qu'est-ce qu'il a acheté avec l'argent gagné? Vous apprendrez enfin comment exprimer des actions au passé en écoutant des phrases au passé ou past simple en anglais. Écoutons l'ancien millionnaire et le journaliste.
When was it? I mean, when did you win the lottery?
It happened on Friday, the 13th, in 2003, I think. Perhaps it was in 2002 or in 2004, maybe.
How did you feel?
I felt crazy for days and days.
Crazy? Why would you feel crazy? Was it very emotional?
Yep, lots of emotion, lots of happiness, lots of everything.
Can you tell me why?
Because it was so sudden and so good.
So what was the first thing you did with...
I bought my own house, a big house. When I moved out, the landlord was begging me not to go.
What else did you buy?
Furniture, nice furniture.
What else?
I replaced my old car. I went and bought a big German car.
Merci. Did you buy a Mercedes?
No, it was a BMW, young man.
Where did you keep the money?
In my pocket, in my bag, at the bank. For once in my life, the bank manager was running after me instead of me running after him.
That sounds great. So what is the situation today?
Different, young man. But that is an old story.
Why?
At first, my life was great. Now I have nothing but trouble. Trouble with the landlord, trouble with the bank, trouble with my friends.
Even with your friends?
Well, you know what they say. No money, no friends. Trust me, I know.
Nous avons entendu dans cet entretien Mathieu parler de sa vie passée et de ce qu'il vit à présent. L'énoncé 1 est faux. L'émotion a rendu Mathieu fou. L'énoncé 2 est vrai. Son logeur l'a prié de rester. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. Mathieu se rappelle-t-il quand il a gagné à la loterie? Non. 2. Combien de voitures a-t-il acheté? 1. 3. Qu'est-ce qu'il a acheté avec l'argent gagné? Une maison, des meubles et une voiture. Et si vous auriez gagné à la loterie, qu'est-ce que vous achèteriez avec l'argent gagné? Répétez ces phrases dites par Mathieu.
It happened on Friday, the 13th. I replaced my old car.
Répétez aussi. He called the bank manager. We listened to Matthew's story. Ces phrases expriment des actions passées au simple past avec des verbes réguliers. Benjamin aussi a posé ses questions en utilisant également le simple past. Répétez ces questions.
When did you win the lottery? How did you feel? What else did you buy?
Répétez aussi. Where did the students go? Why did the music stop? Comme Benjamin, nous avons utilisé dans ces questions did suivi du sujet et suivi de l'infinitif sans to. Nous connaissons maintenant l'histoire de Mathieu. Vous avez entendu vrai ou faux à des énoncés. Vous avez répondu à des questions. Vous avez appris à utiliser le simple past pour exprimer des actions passées et vous poser des questions. Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com.
Ici Michel Joseph. Hello, I'm your English host. Je suis votre présentatrice pour l'anglais. Voulez-vous mieux parler l'anglais? C'est fait! Retrouvez-moi tous les soirs à partir de 21h temps universel sur VOA Afrique et sur notre site internet à www.voaafrique.com et en longue courte le samedi et le dimanche à 20h temps universel. Ne ratez pas English USA.
And welcome to Anglais Télé. Bienvenue à Anglais Télé, votre émission pour pratiquer l'anglais. This is where you learn how to practice English. My name is Michelle Joseph and my fellow colleague.
And I am Roger Muntu.
And we have two guests with us today.
Hi, everybody. I'm Eva Pacchianaro.
And?
Hi, I'm Yubin Kim.
And we're very happy to welcome our guest also in DRC, Portland, Maine. We're discussing about, and Mali, sorry.
That's right. We have a lot of people in Mali too.
We have to.
Yes.
Not, we must not forget our
That's
listeners.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And I wanted to actually say a special hello to Tran, our Facebook viewer in Vietnam.
Yeah, he's in Vietnam. Tran really follow all our videos. We're saying thank you to Tran. If you're listening to this show right now, we say thank you, both Michelle and I.
Yes, we appreciate your comments, and we know that it's very, very early in your country, and so we're not going to disturb you.
That's correct.
Right, yeah. But I had to. This is my sense of obligation with the verb to have.
That's correct.
I had to say hi to Tran.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
So we're going to continue with to have.
Mm-hmm. Part two.
Part two, yeah. Which basically, there are challenges with to have, because especially with the contractions.
Right.
So let's warm up with that. We'll find out what they are. Okay, hi. Well, I'm going to work with what you were speaking about, Eva, your obligations or what you have to do here as an intern. And we're going to use the contractions. For example, let's see. So we're going to use a contraction. For example, how are we going to do this? I was thinking of the, when we're using she, he, or it, has, when we do the contraction its or his or she's, yeah, it can be confused with is. She's very pretty, or she's got a lot of work to do. He's, so the he has and she has, or he is or she is, mm-hmm, when that contraction happens, sometimes it's difficult to find out,
yes,
what is this exactly?
Yeah.
So I know that I'm putting you on the spot, but do you have an idea of an example that you could use in that context? Maybe Roger can help
you. Yeah, I have an example here. This is what Michelle is trying to say. Third person of singular of the verb to be is he is or she is, right? Third person of singular of, mm-hmm, the verb to be. He is or she is.
Or it is.
Or it is. Thank you, Michelle. So if you contract that, you're going to be his. He's sick.
Yes.
He's hungry. He's French. She is American. She's, no, she is.
It's.
Contraction, she is. Mm-hmm. It's funny,
mm-hmm,
instead of it is. Here in America, if you say, oh, it is funny, they know you're not American.
Okay. Right.
That's it.
It's going to sound bizarre.
They know you're not American, yeah. If you say, oh, it is cool, they know you're not American. Because Americans say, it's cool. It's funny. It's, they contract a lot. So this is the verb to be. So in the verb to have now, let's come back to the verb to have, the one Michelle was saying. There's also a third person in to have, which is he has, she has, or it has. That also has a contraction,
mm-hmm,
that also he's, right?
She
has, or, you can also put that contraction.
Yeah, so he's got.
He's got.
Or
yeah,
she's
got.
He's.
So the only difference here, if I should add to what Michelle was saying, the how would you know is because the one with the verb to have has to be followed by a verb.
Right.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you say, it's cool, cool is not a verb, so that's fine.
Okay.
We know that's to be. But in to have, you say, he's got to leave tonight. He's got to leave tonight. To leave as a verb.
Yes.
So we know that's got, it's
he has.
Right?
He has.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I got it.
You got it?
Oh, awesome. She got it.
Did you get it?
Yeah, but it
Eva,
is.
I'm not sure.
It's kind of complicated.
It is. Eva's like, I'm not sure.
I'm sure. I'm
okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
maybe we can actually welcome our guest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
but Michelle, do you think that was a kind of?
It's tricky.
It's very tricky.
This is very tricky.
Mm. But I'll let you welcome the guest.
We're gonna welcome our guest, yeah. And so hello, I think we have Alf Sidibe in Bamako. Hi, Alf.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, everyone. How are you?
Yes, and Moussa. We also have Moussa Kouma in Bamako. Maybe not Bamako. I'm not sure where you are. Maybe you can tell us.
No, but I'm in Bamako.
Wonderful. Thank you. And we have Pierrette Ngoya in Portland, Maine. I love that place. Now, did you hear us? We were discussing about the contraction of the third person conjugated he has, she has, or it has, sounding nearly exactly like the contraction of the verb to be, he is, she is, it is.
Yes.
So it's complicated, but maybe you guys can give us some more examples, and Roger and I will help you out, and you being an Eva as well. Maybe we could start with you, Pierrette.
Pierrette, yep.
An example where you use she's got,
right,
she's got to get up in the morning,
right,
versus she's getting up in the morning. Well, Actually, that's she is getting up in the morning. Mm-hmm. There's a that's
yeah. She's getting up in the morning. Yeah, she is getting up. To get is still the verb that comes after that. So.
How complicated that is? Because she has to get up.
Right.
She's got to get up.
Yeah. And she's getting up. Remember what Yubin also said earlier. To get is also to have.
Right.
So it's still here. To have.
She's got to get up. She is getting.
Yeah.
So she is getting is.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. So in the meaning, it means the same thing. And there are different ways of saying that. So Pierrette, maybe we've confused you further.
Let's not confuse Pierrette, because Pierrette is like, what are they talking about?
Oh, God. Give us an example of how you would contract she's or he's got to...
The best way I'll ask Pierrette. Hello, Pierrette, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Pierrette, can you conjugate all six persons and every time change the direct objects? So, for instance, if you say, I've got a car, don't use car on the next sentence. So use all the six persons. Can you do that?
No, I don't understand.
Yes, you can. Okay, here's what I want you to do. So I want you to conjugate. I, blah, blah, blah. You, blah, blah, blah. He, blah, blah, blah. She, blah, blah, blah. You, blah, blah, blah. They, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
You understand now?
Yes.
Yeah, so conjugate it.
I have.
Mm-hmm.
You have.
Mm-mm. I want you to do it with, like Michelle say, I have, I've got, blah, blah, blah. You've got, blah, blah, blah. She's got. That make sense?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
I've got a new car.
Good job. Next.
You have a nice dress.
No, because you use the first one as I've got. So what would the second one be? The first one you say, I've got. So the second one will be?
Maybe Yubin can help her out.
Yeah.
You've got?
Yes. So the second one will be you've got. Okay, Pierrette?
Yes.
Yes, so you've got. Continue.
She's got.
Mm-hmm. She's got what?
She's got.
No, hold on. Come back, Pierrette. She's got what? She's got.
Just give an example.
Yeah.
She's got a nice dress.
Good.
Very good.
Let's continue. Perfect. Let's continue. So she's got. Okay, next.
We have.
Mm-mm.
We've got.
Good.
You've got a new computer.
Okay.
Very good.
They've got.
They've got what? I don't know what they've got. I don't know what they've got. You have to finish the sentence.
You're there.
That's a good way of learning.
Yeah. You're there. Mm. Come on.
They've got what?
They've got
five babies. I'll help you. Five babies. They have five babies. Wow, wow, wow. Right? They've got five babies.
They've got a baby.
Okay, just
they've
one.
They've got a baby.
All right.
That's good.
That's good.
Why don't we ask Musa Kuma?
Yes?
Musa, if you also could give us some examples of... the use of to have in ordinary sentences that you would use where you are. Just like Roger Muntu had described, maybe use each person, each subject.
That's, yep.
So we're listening to you, Musa Kuma. Go ahead.
To use the have.
So you'll say it, I've got, you can... I think the informal way here in the States is really the most prevalent one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be formal and say, I have 10 cars. I've got 10 cars. I've got 10 cars. So if you're listening to movies and music, you're going to be hearing, I've got,
yep.
You've got, she's got. And so go ahead, Musa. Try it out.
Okay.
You can start with yourself.
Good. Good. That's good. Good start.
Yeah. Although he was formal, he said, I have got.
Oh, he did say that?
Try to be informal. Say the same thing.
To.
So you'll say, I've got, you've got.
Okay. I have got, you have got, we have got.
Okay, he's still...
They have got.
Yes.
He has got. She has got. It has got.
Yes. And the plural?
Yeah.
The plural?
The plural?
Yes.
He used them.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he is up to day of got. That's the bill. Yeah, he said, you've got.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, can you be more relaxed now and contract it all? You mean, why don't you do it one more time for us?
Musa,
yes. Musa, listen to the contracted version, which is more relaxed. Go ahead, Jabin.
I've got, you've got, she's got, he's got, you've got, they've got.
Wow, you've got to be kidding. I love it. I love it. What about you, Eva?
Same conjugation with same verb?
Sure.
I've got, you've got, he's got, she's got, we've got, you've got, they've got.
Okay. So I think, is there anything left here, Roger?
No, I think the best thing will be for our student to understand maybe about one or two sentences, how to put it on the sentence. So, Eva, if I'm talking to you, I'm gonna make up a whole sentence. I'm gonna tell you a story, quick story, maybe of a sentence or two, and I'm gonna use that I've got. Eva, I went to see my friend yesterday in Maryland. Oh my God, they've got a big TV. Oh my God, that TV is awesome. They've got a huge TV. That's how we'll be used in a sentence, you see? And it'll flow nicely like that. You know, and that sounds really, that's more American than, you know, right? I think, Michelle, don't you agree with me?
Well, and I kind of heard that with Musa. You were still a bit formal.
Yeah. Musa, are you there, Musa?
Hello? Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Musa, first of all, you're doing very good in English. Very good, very good. But here's what Michelle wanted you to do. You didn't contract the verb. You were saying, I have got. We have got. She said you have to contract it by saying, I've. Not I have, I've got. That's
okay.
The construction. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the contraction. But otherwise, it was good. It was okay, but it was not. It was formal. It was not what Michelle wanted, which was the contraction.
Yeah. So I think that's the biggest challenge here. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Roger has prepared
something.
Something that's going to
around. I've got something for you.
That's it. All right. Thank you.
Voulez-vous mieux parler l'anglais? Avec Anglais Télé, notre programme interactif télé multimédia.
C'est à votre tour de parler.
It's your turn to talk.
No, it's my turn to talk.
No, it's their turn to talk.
Ben, vous aurez l'occasion d'intervenir en direct et de pratiquer l'anglais.
Avec
Michel
et Roger. Nous répondrons à vos questions.
Nous vous aiderons à formuler vos phrases. Consultez aussi notre groupe Facebook Anglais Télé.
Right. Okay, so we're going to thank everyone this evening. We're going to thank Avsidi B from Bamako, Musa Kuma, Pierrette Ngoya, and Jeff Pascal from DRC. Thank you so much, English students of Anglais Télé.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Thank you for yourself.
All right. And
of course, we have to say good to our wonderful engineers.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Dave Magnus. Thanks, Aiden Utku.
Dave Magnus, Aiden Utku, and the beautiful France. The most
France,
beautiful.
Our dear producer.
Yeah,
it's all
amazing.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, all of you.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. Yeah.